Well, it's good to see you here tonight, and turn in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Just like on Sunday morning, we're going to be preaching through Book of Exodus. On Sunday night, we're not going to preach through the book of Proverbs, but we're going to be looking at some of the Proverbs on Sunday night. Proverbs is one of those books where almost every individual verse could be a sermon. Topic and sermon idea, and some of them certainly are duplicated throughout the book. But tonight I want to talk about God's formula for blessing out of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 through 18. I'll let you remain seated, but I'm going to read these verses with us. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth lead you, leave you. You should let it lead you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. We pray you would lead us and guide us as we open our eyes to your word, to your holy truth. May we apply these truths to our own lives individually, that we may experience your blessing. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to ask you this question, and I want to try to answer it based on what the book of Proverbs says here tonight. How can you enjoy life? I think Proverbs chapter 3 gives us some indications exactly how to do that. Is life for us a burden, or is it a blessing? Is it a delight, or is it a drudgery? I believe with all my heart that life is meant to be enjoyed, not only in the world to come, but in this life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And that means not just a little thimbleful. He wants us to have a cup that overflows. He wants to experience a little bit of heaven before we get to heaven. And King Solomon was a king who messed up in a lot of ways. First of all, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. He really messed up. But he was also a king who asked for God's wisdom. And he gave us some insights in God's holy word on how we can enjoy God's blessing. Now, I grew up on a farm, and when we planted things, we expected to get what we planted. If you sow tomato seeds, you're going to get tomato plants. If you sow apple seeds, you're going to get an apple tree. If you sow lettuce seeds, you're going to get lettuce plants. So the seed that is sown will determine the produce or the fruit that will be born. And when a farmer will sow seed and cultivate and care for that seed, the result is usually a harvest, a fruitful harvest. And I think that's the way God's blessings come. He gives us these principles to live by. He gives us this life that we ought to strive for. And when we do that, we cultivate it, we care for it, the result is usually a harvest of His blessing. And so I want to ask two questions and try to answer it. First of all, how do God's blessings come? How do God's blessings come? Well, Proverbs gives us some indication here. It starts in verse 5. How do God's blessings come? Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is one of my wife's favorite verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's also one of my mom's favorite verses. We actually had it printed on the brochure that, when she was buried on the backside. It was one of the verses in every one of the Bibles we found, she had underlined and marked through. It's hard to find one of her favorite verses, but that was one she often quoted to us. She had so many she had underlined and marked through. But he says, trust God with all your heart. Trust God with all your heart. Not just a little bit of your heart. This concept of trust is a concept of dependence. And not just a total dependence, but security. A few weeks back, we were at a conference in Phoenix, Arizona, and we came back from Phoenix on an airplane. And it seemed like we went right through a lightning storm because there was lightning on this side of the plane, and you look through the window, there's lightning on the other side of the plane, and I literally thought that lightning was flashing from the tip of this wing to the tip of that wing, and we were up and down just like this. And there were several times I thought Bonnie was going to break my ribs because we would jolt and she would grab me. And it was obvious to me she was not very secure. And in that moment, I felt some sense of fear, but I also felt some sense of security because I thought, if I die, I know where I'm going. And ultimately, my life is in Jesus' hands. And there's absolutely nothing I can do at 15,000 feet to correct this situation. So I have to have confidence in the pilot, and I have to have confidence in the plane, and I have to have confidence in my Savior. And I can't trust anybody else. I can't trust myself. I can't depend on myself. I have to trust those individuals. And so I sat there and I tried the best I could to relax, and I was pretty relaxed until Bonnie would just keep grabbing me. I've often thought about when we ride in a chairlift. Any of you have ever gone on a ski lift, chairlift? All right, several of you have. I know Bill likes to ski. You ride on that chairlift and you get on it, and sometimes you're way above the ground. I mean, there's places you're way above the ground. And I think, man, and sometimes people don't even ride with the bars down. Those bars are up. And you think, man, you could slip off of here pretty easily. And I don't think about that so much. I think all it takes is one cable to break up there, just one, and down we go, because the cable that carries us is also the cable that suspends us in the air. The cable that pulls us up the mountain is the same cable, and only one cable has to break and everybody goes tumbling down. Listen, there's only one place we can really find security, and that's in the Heavenly Father. There's not several cables. We don't find security in God plus us, God plus our circumstances, God plus our situation. The only place we can find true security, true peace, true trust is in God. And the Bible says we are to trust Him with all our heart. And God's blessings begin to flow to us whenever we begin to trust Him. You know, it's tough, and I've mentioned this the last couple of weeks. It's tough losing your mom. Several of you have lost loved ones, and you know what this is all about. Several of you have lost spouses, and you know how difficult it would be. But even in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the crisis, I had a sense of peace because I felt God's presence, and I knew He was there. And I could trust Him. I could trust Him to take care of my mom when she departed this life. I could trust Him that His promises were true. I could trust the fact that He had a place prepared for her. That peace could not have been available to me if I did not believe what God promised. There comes a time, if we want to experience God's richest blessings, we just have to trust Him. Trust Him with all our heart. And I want to say this. You don't have to always understand how God is leading in order to trust Him. Sometimes you may, like we talked about this morning, we don't always understand why God hesitates to answer our prayers. We don't know why God delayed 400 years. to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. But God has a plan, God has a purpose, and ultimately His purpose, His plan will be accomplished. You can trust God with all your heart, and that is the beginning of where blessings flow. Secondly, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. To acknowledge means to know by observing and reflecting, or to know by experiencing. I think of it this way. Sometimes when I'm having a conversation with another adult, when my children were small, they would come up, and I noticed this was happening with my grandchildren and their parents, my children. The last few weeks I've noticed this. But we're having conversation between two adults, and the grandkids come up, and they're, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy, Pa-Jay, Mimi, trying to get our attention, trying to get our attention for what they want, when we're having an intense conversation between two adults about something very important. This is not children tugging on God's sleeve trying to get His attention. This is God tugging on our sleeve trying to get our attention. This is God saying to us, will you acknowledge that I'm here? Will you listen to what I have to say? Because what I have to say is much more important than what you're engaging in. This is what the psalmist, the writer Solomon, is talking about. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, in all your activities, in all your behaviors. God is tugging on your sleeve saying, listen to me, my way is best. You cannot enjoy life without listening to my direction. We need to experience God and listen to His leading. We need to listen to His Spirit and the promptings as He guides us. Blessings come by trusting God with all your heart. Blessings come by acknowledging God in all your ways. Third, blessings come by honoring the Lord with our substance. Verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Literally, the first fruits. The Bible calls it the tithe. Teaches us to trust God. Why do we do that? Abraham did it when he honored Melchizedek by the spoils of war. The Israelites did it. God told them, said, give us the first fruits. Give the first fruits to the Levites. It provided for the upkeep of the sanctuary, the priest, those who are serving the Lord in the tabernacle. And later, when they built the temple, to improve the temple and take care of its maintenance. The tithe, the first fruits, it teaches us to trust God. Why does God want us to give us the first of all of our wealth? The first, not the last, not the leftovers. Well, first it teaches us to honor Him, to respect Him, to know the source from which all of our blessings come. God wants us to honor Him. And when we are not willing to honor Him with all that He gives us, we don't recognize the fact that He has blessed us with our substance. We need to honor the Lord with our substance if we want His blessings to come. The fourth thing I want to say, how do blessings come? Accept the Lord's correction, verses 11 and 12. My son, my child, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Accept the Lord's correction. There's times we misbehave. And if we want to experience God's blessing, we've got to hear His sometimes gentle voice and sometimes His not so gentle voice discipline us and say, you are wrong. We need to accept the Lord's correction. The Bible says, those whom He loves, He disciplines. You think about David and Bathsheba. They did something God did not want them to do. As a result of their sin, they allowed their children to live in sin and rebellion. and it influenced their whole nation in a way that was negative rather than positive. However, I will say this about David. When he was confronted with his sin, he confessed his sin. Psalm 51 describes David's heartbreaking prayer to the Lord. As he cries out to God and seeks God's forgiveness and accepts the Lord's correction in his life. God did not allow the child that was born to them in adultery to live. And it was because God wanted them to know you cannot get by with the sin that you've committed. We need to accept the Lord's correction. God doesn't deal with everyone the same way. But when we know we have rebelled against God and done that which is improper, when He speaks to us through the person of His Holy Spirit, we need to recognize what He's saying to us. We need to confess it quickly, turn away from the sin, ask God's forgiveness, and then accept the punishment that comes our way. I usually know when it's coming. I usually know when it hits. When I misbehave, when I rebel, the minute something bad happens to me, it's like God says, listen, I removed my hand of protection from you because you wanted to do it your way. And now you did it your way, and now look at the consequences of your bad behavior. That doesn't make me angry at the Lord. It makes me love the Lord, that He's not willing to allow me to get by with bad behavior. He loves me too much not to correct me. He is more interested in the eternal issues of life than He is my temporary comfort. No man lives unto himself, no man dies unto himself. We need to accept the Lord's correction, knowing that His correcting our life will also influence generations that follow. How do the blessings come? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Honor the Lord with your substance. Accept the Lord's correction. Second question I want to ask is, what are the blessings? What are the blessings God sends our way? Well, first of all, it says in verse 6, when you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will make your paths straight. Or one translation says, He shall direct your paths. Literally, it means to make them straight, which makes them more pleasant, more prosperous. I've noticed that on a road that's crooked, you can't go near as fast. You can't travel near as far, near as quickly. And it sometimes makes you car sick. When we were in Kentucky, we drove down to Cumberland Falls one night. I had told the kids we were there during the time of the full moon. It was after the funeral service was over. It was the night after the funeral had taken place. I said, there's a full moon tonight. There's only two places in the world you can see a moonbow. And it's about 45 miles from here, 45 minutes from here, about 30 miles from here. Do y'all want to go? So we all loaded up in the car and we went down there to see the moonbow. And what it is, it's this mist that comes up off of the water. As the full moon rises up over the mountains, you can see this rainbow extend up out of the mist. And at nighttime, it looks more like a white bow instead of the multicolored rainbow. And it's sometimes difficult to see, but I did get some pictures, and with the camera, you could see the rainbow, the reflection of the rainbow coming up out of the mist. There's one of only two places in the world you can see that. One of those is Cumberland Falls, Kentucky. The kids wanted to go, but it's a curvy, curvy road getting down there. And my daughter-in-law, Sarah, she's very seasick, very car sick. Any kind of motion sickness is just horrible for her. And it makes it worse when she's a passenger and she's not driving. So Mark, her husband, my son, was driving. She was sitting in the passenger side. The minute we pulled in the parking lot, she jumped out of the car and started heaving. A curvy road is not always pleasant, especially for people like Sarah. When God says He will shall direct our paths, He's talking about taking a curvy highway and straightening the road, taking a bumpy road and making it smooth. It's making our life more pleasant. That's what God's promising. Then when we trust Him with our heart, acknowledge God in our ways, honor Him with our substance, accept His correction, He makes our life more pleasing, more fruitful, more successful. That's what He wants to do with our heart and life. He wants to make our life filled with blessing. Not only does He direct our paths, the Bible says in verse 10, He will fill our barns with plenty. When you trust the Lord with all your heart, acknowledge Him in all your ways, honor Him with your substance, you accept His correction. He says in verse 10, your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with wine. This is His way of saying it will be filled overflowing with abundant crops. God's going to bless you in all you attempt to do. When you put Him first in your life, His blessings flow to you. As a general principle, that will always take place. The third thing is this. Happiness comes to your heart. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. In verses 13 through 18, talk about wisdom, and it really personifies wisdom. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom? And then it talks to her about wisdom as a woman. The man who gains understanding for her profit, talking about the profit of wisdom, is better than silver and gold. Her gain, the gain of wisdom, is better than fine gold. She, talking about wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her, talking about wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and wisdom comes from experiencing the discipline of God, the direction of God. We learn wisdom by doing the right thing the right way. We learn wisdom by doing the right thing the wrong way. We learn wisdom by doing the wrong thing the wrong way as we listen to God's discipline in our heart and life. That's the reason you can mess up and God can still teach you something when you mess up. It's what God did with Moses. It's what God will do with us. Wisdom comes from experiencing life and experiencing God's wisdom, discipline in our life. Listen to what it says, verse 16, long life is in her right hand, wisdom's right hand, long life. In her left hand are riches and honor, that's wisdom. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Wisdom is not being smart. Wisdom is knowing God's ways and applying them to your life. And there are people who don't have a great high IQ that can still experience God's wisdom. It's not about our intelligence quotient. It's about living life God's way and doing what God wants you to do. There's many of us, God has given us common sense to use to bring honor and glory to Him. But we do stupid stuff. We do stupid stuff. Think back about my own life's experience, all the stupid stuff I've done. And we're not supposed to call each other stupid. My friends, we do stupid stuff. I've done stupid stuff. And wisdom teaches us not to keep doing it over and over and over again. And we discover happiness by using the experience of our failures to learn from the stuff we've done wrong and experience the life of blessing that God desires for us to experience. I want to close with this passage out of Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. God's Word gives us truth to live by. And Joshua, in the book of Joshua, these words are written. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then God's blessings will flow to you. You'll be prosperous and successful. God's formula for blessing. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of your holy word. We pray that you'd teach us the things you want us to know. As we walk away from here, we can take these proverbs. Help us to trust in you with all our heart. Help us not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you, and you shall direct our paths. May we make that the theme of our life. And God, as we do that, may we apply our hearts to your wisdom. And may we use that wisdom in such a way that you are honored. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.